Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined on this show to recap the Raptors' loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves by Colin Connors. Colin?
Hey, how's it going?
I almost fell asleep watching this game. Nice little Sunday afternoon. Meaningless basketball. But yeah, the Raptors lost 103-92 to the Timberwolves. Just overall not a very good defensive performance, and it's nothing to worry about too much, but it doesn't look like this specific Raptors summer league team is very good.
Yeah, not at all, really. Like, it seems like it's going to be a bit of a tough summer. They really miss having a true point guard. Last year, like Van Vliet, you can kind of just tell whenever they're on the court, there's no released valve, no one's really getting people in their places. A lot of the possessions are just complete, like, jumbled up. Like, I really thought this is what Teague was going to bring. Like, he had his best season of his career in the G League, even finally got called up to the Grizzlies, and he's just been, he doesn't look like he's got really real flow. He's passing up open shots. He's got good pick-and-roll chemistry with Lima, but that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And besides that, McIntyre's looking okay, but he's reckless at times like crazy. He's got 4 turnovers today, and there was about a million times where he almost had a turnover. Mm. And Rousey just doesn't look like an NBA player. He's just, a bit too small, a bit too, not that quick. He can't really get to his spots well.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a great point. Like, you need organization. Like, you need organization in a game where pretty much, these guys are randomly thrown together, obviously don't have much continuity. And last year, we were treated to pretty good basketball because Van Vliet was able to consistently get guys like Poeltl, Siakam, and everyone else into their offense. Like, there just isn't that same organization. If you want to look at assists, I think Cody Miller McIntyre led the entire team with 4. Jason Lloyd had a couple of nice moments, but I mean, when your starting point guard gets 1 assist in 13 minutes and honestly just didn't look very good, it's going to be tough to play. But in terms of the relevant characters here, OG obviously is top of mind for everybody. A little bit better of a performance than game one. He had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block. Only shot 5 of 15 from the field and 1 of 4 from deep. But I thought overall his game today was a little bit better.
Yeah, he definitely showed a lot more today. He had that one nice Kevin Love outlet pass early on. He had a bunch of really nice, attack in the basket and kicking out. Guys weren't necessarily making shots, and, there's about 5 times where he hit people who had glass hands around the key who just, didn't make the layup and whatnot. But his, his handle looks a bit shaky, which is obviously something he'll just improve upon with, practice and age. But he's actually looks like he's starting to get a bit of a rhythm in terms of, the pick and roll he's using and, coming off handoffs. He's showing, the potential of a secondary playmaker that some people want to see. But you can tell he's still a lot more comfortable when he catches it, in the mid-post or, backing down and stuff like that. But that's just carrying over from his college career still.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you could tell the lack of handle there. He's not able to get to the specific types of places on the floor where, you can really do damage as a scorer. And when he tries to drive to score for himself, he jumps towards the rim. He's a little bit far out when he tries to jump, and he's not getting basically good opportunities to finish. And I think that explains the poor shooting percentages in both game one and game two. He's not going to be a primary scorer, but I mean, in terms of just secondary playmaking, you could definitely tell that the instincts are good there. And that's positive. And also defensively, him, playing a lot of power forward, doing a lot of, having a lot of help rotation responsibilities, OG's nailing all of those, and that part at least is very good to see.
Yeah, it's really good to see. They started the fourth. I can't totally remember if he was on, but they went really small with McKinney at the five, and I think OG was at the four. Mm-hmm. And it struggled, but it was nice to see them finally try that. Like, I would love to see a lot more of, like, OG at the four and just, like, switch, because they could switch one through five of that lineup. I think Carter McIntyre was at the one, or Miller McIntyre was at the one, and, like, they could switch one through five. And, like, you know, with OG, they're just kind of manning things. Like, it actually looked competent on defense. They just had, like, five turnovers on offense, so they got it scored pretty badly with that stretch. But, yeah, OG defensively looks like the best defensive player on the court, without a doubt.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, overall, I think the Raptors' defense has been really foul-prone in both the games one and game two. Today they had 28 fouls, and I think these are 40-minute games. So that's not good. Yeah. But I mean, what do you see from that defense in terms of like, what style are they playing and why are they fouling so much?
A lot of it's coming from I think today they almost had double the turnovers of the Timberwolves. So a lot of times it's just because they're getting so many transition opportunities that they're just having to like, you know, get their hands in there just to try and break it up. Because like when they're getting in the half court, they're having like, you know, decent defensive possessions, but like there's so, like every single time the Timberwolves are getting like either like a full transition or a secondary transition, like, and that just puts things at like disadvantage because there's going to be cross matches, guys with poor mismatches, like Malachi Richardson will end up guarding like someone he shouldn't, and then he'll end up fouling or something like that. Like, it's just not, it, like, the turnovers is definitely the biggest issue.
Yeah, for sure. And again, that links back to the, you know, lack of quality point guard play. It does kind of color everything else, but in terms of the other Raptors that are relevant here, Alphonso McKinney, he clearly has a mindset to score, but he needs to pass, man. He's taking every shot available to him.
Yeah, in my notes for McKinney, I've got Chucker about four times because he keeps catching, facing up against, like, with, like, almost no space and just trying to put up a three. And, with his athleticism, you'd want him to get, like, more to the rim, but it seems like every time he drives, unless he's got a clear layup, he's just putting up one of those floaters that he does, which work occasionally in, like, the G League with the 905, but I think he's made one out of about five in the two games so far. Like, you'd like to see him, like, he's like, I think you mentioned in the last pod that he's bulked up, but he's really not using his body that well to, like, really use his, like, size and athleticism to get good angles. He's just, like, taking these, like, tough floaters and then just, his three is not looking good. Like, he's had a bunch of really bad misses.
Yeah, there's one really prominent possession where I think OG broke down his man and got to the rim and then kicked it out. And it was a beautiful play. And McKinney, I think, was wide open. And it was just an air ball. Like, as soon as he shot it, you're like, yep, that's not catching anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough for him. It is really tough for him because I don't think this is, like, entirely in character for him. I think he's trying to expand his game a little bit, but yeah, I don't think he's gonna make the league as a scorer. I think he should focus a little bit more on just being a defender, being athletic. Like, he's really good at poaching for offensive rebounds, and he did that today for a putback. But yeah, I mean, in terms of just as a gunner, like, that's not really his game. Another guy that kind of profiles as a gunner, even though I'm not entirely sure if he's good, is Malachi Richardson. Today he was much better than in game one. He hit more shots today. He scored 15 points, had two assists, shot 4 or 5 from deep. I like Malachi's confidence. I'm just not sure he's always going to be able to hit those you know, like, jab step pull up threes, because I don't know, he doesn't really look like that good of a shooter to be shooting that much and that confidently. Mm-hmm. But today he was hitting shots.
Yeah, it was a bit of an aberration for a little while for Steve Hitson. His form is really nice, but he's never had great percentages. I think in the G League last year, he was about like 31 or 32% from three. I might be wrong on that, but I know it was low 30s. I did a piece on him. Mm-hmm. And, like, at his size, like, he can be a 3-and-D guy, but he's only about like 6'5", and he doesn't have this, like, strong frame. So you'd like to see him show some ball handling capabilities, but he doesn't look comfortable coming off screens. He had some pretty bad turnovers today. He had some where he almost threw a turnover, but it got deflected out of bounds. Like, they were praising him on the broadcast, and I remember last game, PJ Carlissimo was calling him, like, a player in this league, but he's not really showing that much besides that, like, patented step back going left. Like, he cannot go right. His scattering report is only going left for that pull-up, and there's not, like, too many translatable skills that you're seeing out there besides, like, just catch and shoot threes, but, you know, that's, like, he's not shooting that great of a percentage too consistently, so you're not seeing too much great stuff there.
Yeah, and especially defensively, like, I think he's athletic enough for, but like you mentioned, he's a bit undersized, and he's not particularly physical either, or eager to play defense, so I don't think he's, like, necessarily a bad defender. He needs to be better on that end if he's going to be a catch and shoot 3-and-D guy. Did anyone else's performance stand up to you today?
Lloyd was good, like Jordan Lloyd. He had a couple nice shots, but I didn't pay too much attention to his defense. Like, he had some nice defensive possessions, but he would obviously project as more of a 3-and-D guy, and you kind of, like, I need to take a couple, a more close look to see how his defense is before I can make any decisions on him. And, Javon Thompson actually had a pretty good game. Like, he had a couple, like, orthodox lefty hooks. He actually was having his hands up in the paint for once. That's like, he's got this huge wingspan, but sometimes he's got his hands down, which is the most frustrating thing. But he had pretty good verticality and stuff. Like, I don't think he had very many blocks, but he was contesting a lot of shots and causing people to alter their shots way more than Lima. Like, Lima wasn't really affecting very many shots at all.
Why do we have Lima? Marquise Teague and Lima in the starting lineup is just, it's such a downgrade from last year's version of, like, Van Vliet and Poeltl. Like, obviously, like, no one's really going to consistently replicate those guys, because those guys are actually NBA players. But, like, Lima does not look good. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, and I'm always looking forward to more Shavon Thompson. It's not even, like, necessarily that he's that great. Like, he's, like, kind of like just your prototypical banger. He's a little bit slow, actually. But, like, he's just... It's miles better than Lima. It's better than Trigvi, who got some burn today, 4 minutes, grabbed the rebound.
7 minutes.
I don't know. Was it impactful out there? He was wearing number 15, though, so that's a ballsy move. I think Raleigh Alkins was a little bit disappointed today. He didn't really play that much, but only had 2 points. I'm not quite sure what they want to do with the rotation or what they want to do with Raleigh, but they did give some money to him. And so you would assume that they would give him a bigger role, but only 8 minutes today. I'm looking forward to seeing more from him, because he obviously had a really impressive game one.
Yeah, he played really well in game one. I think he was the only guy that was a plus, and he was a plus 14 in like 12 minutes in game one. And today he was just kind of mediocre. He had two pretty rough turnovers, just being reckless in transition. He got beat in the post. He fell for a pump fake. He had that one nice baseline dunk, but... And he actually had one nice Euro step pass off to Lima early on, but he didn't see too much, like, consistently. Like, he looked just, like, he didn't get too many opportunities to show what his 3-point stroke was like, and it looked nice in game one, but I don't know. You'd like to see them kind of invest a bit more in terms of, like, playing him, like, one of the most, like, arguably as much as Miller and McKinney, but they're obviously not leading that way right now, so.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, and the Raptors will wrap up their round robin play tomorrow. And we'll be back to recap that game. Again, thanks to Colin for recapping this one. And I don't know, are you free tomorrow, basically?
Actually, I'm getting my wisdom teeth out in the morning, so I'm free, but I would not be of much use.
Okay, all right. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm gonna need it.
enjoy the anesthesia. Enjoy the drugs, basically.
I'll try to.
All right. See you guys later.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is coming soon. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who found the key to the right coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online.
I took my time and found the best Medicare Advantage plan for me at myhealthpolicy.com.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com.
And finally, Michael.
I prefer face-to-face, so I chose MyHealthPolicy.com and enrolled on the spot.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to learn about top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans. Or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. MyHealthPolicy.com. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.